T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After a beautiful weekend, how are we all doing? The midday show, Beningo and Roberts. I have no new news to report. I got nothing, so it's just me. How are you? And hopefully I'll entertain you for a couple hours. Wishnia, Acosta, Lugie doesn't want to leave. He's on the other side. Lugie, much like me, I'm sure, is very tired on this Monday morning. Very, very tired. If you're a wrestling fan, you're very tired. And I got the double deucer. I watch the wrestling pay-per-view. I record a podcast, which you can download later if you want. And then I'm about to go upstairs and go to bed. And my son decided to wake up. And I spent 2 hours getting him to sleep. So there is a chance, I'm not sure when, there is a chance I may pass out live on the air. If that happens, my apologies. My apologies. But you know what? I had a 5-hour energy. I feel good. I always feel good on a Monday because I miss you guys. And I miss screaming and yelling into a microphone about sports. Because when I scream and yell to my wife about the Yankees and the Mets and the Giants, she looks at me like I have 37 heads. So we're here together, and there's a lot of football I want to get to later today. Kim Jones will join me. We'll talk Giants and Jets. The Giants played Friday night. The Jets, obviously, Thursday. There are clips all over Twitter, if you missed it, from some of the just horrifically egregious calls that could infest the NFL once this regular season starts. I started to give fantasy drafts a real hard look over the weekend, so we'll touch on that as the show rolls on. We'll go around baseball. I think it was an interesting weekend in baseball overall. But let me start with the state of the Yankees, who, you know, we'll get to the injuries in a second because they're significant and where they are right now. But you got to hand it to this team. They lose a really bad series against the Tampa Bay Rays. That after they lost that game on Monday against the Mets. So, they don't really finish this or in the midst of this homestand. You don't feel great about things after they lose to DeGrom. They do win that first game against Tampa. Luis Sessa does Luis Sessa things. And they lose that awful game on Thursday afternoon. So if you're a Yankee fan, you're not feeling great. You're starting to actually, for the first time, look over your shoulder. You're looking at Oakland, who's playing Houston. You're looking at Seattle. You're not feeling great, especially with how bad Thursday went and the comments by Greg Bird. And just think about how you felt early Friday night. Here's Lance Lynn, who's been very good as a Yankee. I don't think he had given up an earned run until Friday night starts. And right out of the gate, they're punched in the face and they're down 4-0. And be honest with me. After the way they lost on Thursday afternoon, after the way they had played in that series as a whole against Tampa, just this sloppy head up your rear end baseball. You're down 4-0. You're not feeling good Friday night. And I thought what was so huge Friday was the way they instantly responded in the bottom of the first inning. I always say that. If you're going to fall behind early, and it does happen, respond right away. You don't have to get everything back, and the Yankees didn't. But Didi hits that triple, Andujar hits the RBI double, and boom, it's 4-2. Neil Walker hits a big home run a few innings later, and what I thought was key before that Walker home run was that at-bat by Greg Bird, who overall had a very promising weekend, which I'll touch on in a little bit. The only thing, and if you've listened long enough, you know I'm not being a hypocrite. You know this is just a pet peeve of mine, and just in light, give me 30 seconds to cry about it. Just 30 seconds. The fact that that was a rain-shortened game, the fact that the Yankees win, lose, or draw, get a victory when it's a 2-run game, and let's just forget the last 2 innings of the game, is a joke. And it's an even bigger joke when you very easily the next day could have picked it up and finished the game. I hate rain-shortened games. And if Joe was here, you know what he'd say. Bro, who cares? It's not a big deal. It's a big deal. It's 162 games, sure, but every game matters. And I don't want to hear, Don't do it if you're a Yankee fan and tweet me and say, I'm sure you wouldn't say that if it was the Mets. BS, I have many times. It's a joke. Especially when it's so easy to finish the game. All you got to do on Saturday is pick it up like a doubleheader and a half. But all right, that's it. I'm not saying it again. Good job. The Yankees took advantage of it. They got the cheap victory. The Blue Jays don't care because they stink. They're 12 games under 500. What the heck? Or 14 games under 500. Whatever their record is now, they don't really care. Not a big deal. But I hate that kind of thing. Either way, it was a good victory for the Yankees. And one thing you saw all weekend, especially on Saturday, you saw the offensive floodgates begin to open. This is a team that had gone about 3.5 weeks since they had their last double-digit run score floodgate opening. And they did it on Saturday. They did it on Sunday. And remember, they're doing it without Aaron Judge. They're doing it without Gary Sanchez. And they were able to give you that offensive explosion over the weekend. And I mentioned Greg Bird. What was positive about Bird, Friday he has the 11-pitch at-bat, which is a walk before the Walker home run. Saturday he hits a home run late that, yeah, whatever, Yankees are up big. And then Sunday, he's the guy that breaks the back early with the grand slam home run. So maybe, and that's the key word, maybe, oh maybe, they are starting to get Greg Bird going. Maybe. But overall, you got to like how the Yankees were aggressive on the base pass. They took advantage of Ernie's guy, Danny Jansen, behind the plate, who can't throw me out. They advanced on wild pitches. They ran that double steal the other day. Yesterday it was. So you saw the Yankees playing aggressive baseball, and they finish this run, this 20-game stretch that they had without an off day, and they finish it strong, and they take care of business against a bad team. You got to like whether this division race is over or not, and we all know it's over, just based on how far back they are right now, the Red Sox, despite them losing yesterday. They're 9.5 games back. They're not winning this division. But you like to see them finish this homestand on a strong note, beat this bad team, and they've done a really good job against the Blue Jays all season long. They have handled Toronto since earlier this season when they struggled early. And so they were able to bounce back from what was what felt like one of their worst losses of the year on Thursday afternoon. The positive also was Severino on Saturday. I know he ran into trouble in the sixth inning. I had no problem with Boone letting him go. He gives you 5 scoreless innings. Why not get a sixth out of him? You don't want to go to that back end of that bullpen, which has struggled at times. So it was a step in the right direction for Severino. That's how I would define it. I don't think you're relaxed yet about Sevy. I think you still look at what's coming up and say, all right, his next start is against the Orioles. Go take care of business against them. Then I think he faces the White Sox and the Tigers before things start to get difficult on that West Coast trip right after Labor Day. But it was definitely a step in the right direction for Luis Severino, and that was a big positive. Now here are the negatives. The negatives are the health of this team. And I don't say this lightly, but the whole Aaron Judge thing feels MetLife. It just does. Because initially when he has this injury, and the Yankees put the time frame out there that they put out there, you felt as if it was very realistic that you would see Aaron Judge before September 1st. And now, as we sit here today, with him still in pain from that wrist, and the fact that not only does he have to begin swinging a bat, but then he's got to get his timing down, and you're worried, don't rush him back. Look what happened to Justin Turner with the Dodgers. It affected Justin Turner for a long period of time. I don't think we're going to see him before September 1st. I don't know when we're going to see him. And long term, I know the wild card game is simply one game, but certainly a postseason run if they win that game. They need him. They need him out there. And we sit here today, I guess now we're over 3 weeks removed from the initial injury, and it feels as if there's been no movement on it. So the Judge thing is scary. The Didi thing, we'll see what they say today. Boone yesterday after the game didn't sound positive. It sounded like Didi's going to go back on or on the disabled list. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a Yankee lineup that is going to be missing Aaron Judge, probably their best player. Gary Sanchez, who despite having this awful season this year, is certainly a big bat they could use. And now Didi, who's in the middle of the order. So you look at this lineup without those three guys. And you know what it reminds you? It reminds you this, Ernie even has to admit it. Thank God they traded for Giancarlo. Because what would this lineup look like if they didn't make a trade for Giancarlo? And it also shows you that depth on paper sounds great. But boy, man, I'll tell you, depth can go away in a New York minute. Because the Yankee depth, for a variety of reasons, mostly with health, but also with trades, like Tyler Austin and Brandon Drury. Not that those guys were going to make a difference. Drury's out for the year anyway, and Tyler Austin isn't exactly hitting the cover off the ball in Minnesota. I understand that. And even the other trades, that they've made over the years, in which they've dealt some of the outfield depth that they've had, it's all gone. It's gone to the point where Neil Walker's their everyday right fielder, where Shane Robinson's playing a lot. And what's really going to help this team, not only over the next 2 days in Miami where they need him to, is Giancarlo being able to play right field again. I think that will be a big help, because if you put Giancarlo back in right, now you could put Neil Walker back at second. You can move Glaber to shortstop, which I have no issue with. Boone alluded to it yesterday. That's what he's going to do, and we even saw that yesterday when Didi came out of the game. He's a natural shortstop. He's going to be, in all likelihood, a better defensive shortstop than he is a second baseman. Second base is still a new position for him. So getting Giancarlo back to be able to play right field is going to be a big deal for this team. But, hey, over the last 2 days, even with these injuries and obviously losing Didi in that fluky injury yesterday where Kendrys Morales is just in horrible position, they still managed to score 28 runs over the three games against the Blue Jays, 21 runs over the last 2 days. Now, here's the good news. It's kind of bad news, but it's mostly good news. The key for Didi, the key for Judge, the key for Gary, get back, get your timing ready for the one-game playoff, because that's really what we're looking at. Now, the Oakland A's had a good weekend. I'll get more into the other baseball stuff later. They won 2 out of 3, though they did lose yesterday with a golden opportunity. If you look at the way the American League race is playing out, the Yankees are still 8 games up on a playoff spot. Forget home field advantage for a second. I'm not saying it isn't important. I know you don't want to go to Oakland or, dare I say, Houston, but the key is making the playoffs, and right now they are 8 games up in the loss column. So the key remains getting these guys healthy and on track for when it matters. But it is crazy how the depth has disappeared so quickly and how Giancarlo Stanton, who not that long ago was considered a luxury, it was considered, oh my God, do they really need this guy? As we sit here today on whatever the heck today's date is, August 20th, they sure as hell need him. Just look at this lineup.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.